Good evening, church. Is anybody excited about going to higher heights and deeper depths in their love of the Lord? Your presence here tonight indicates that you want to learn more about loving God. My excitement led me to a passage that I believe demonstrates the disciples' growing intimacy with Jesus. Would you please turn with me to Matthew 14? I'll be reading verses 22 to 33 from the New International Version. Matthew 14, 22 to 23. While you're turning, I'd like to do my proper protocol and thank our pastor for this opportunity to stand before you and proclaim the word. And I'd like to say good evening to you all, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we need your Holy Spirit to come now, take complete control of this moment, and preach your word to these, your people. May this message inspire us to courageously accept the invitations you extend to us to go to higher heights in loving you. Please grant us the fortitude to finish the things that we begin in your name. It's in the precious and powerful name of Jesus that we ask it all and say together, amen. Take courage. That's our sermon subject. Take courage. Please try to hear this familiar story afresh tonight. I know you've heard it many times before, but it's about so much more than what Jesus once did on a lake a long time ago in a land far away. If we look carefully at the pattern of the passage, we'll discover that Jesus is still doing for his church today what he did for his followers in the first century, that he will continue to inspire generations of believers to come. All of the disciples actually grow close to Jesus in this text, not just Peter. We often talk about Peter's experience and Peter's growth, but everybody was changed as a result of what happened. There are parallels of position between the church today and the crew in the boat back then. Initially, Matthew places Jesus up on a mountain praying while the disciples are down on a lake struggling against a storm. The situation is similar for the 21st century church. Jesus is up in heaven making intercessions for us while we're down on earth fighting the storms of life. Have you ever found yourself saying, "It's late in the evening, Lord, I need you to show up in my situation. The winds in my life are contrary, circumstances are against me, some of my own decisions to obey you have gotten me boxed in, temptations everywhere around me. I need you to come and get me out of this storm." So it is with the disciples. It's the middle of the night, and they're well on their way to where Jesus actually told them to go. They find themselves fighting a storm for their very lives. It wasn't their idea to go to the other side. Jesus insisted they get into the boat and cross the lake. Their obedience to Christ has them struggling to survive. Jesus didn't say, "Get into the boat, start heading to the other side, drop the anchor if you run into some opposition." He didn't say, "Go to the other side of the lake. I promise there won't be any storms along the way." He simply said, "Get in the boat and go to the other side." As a church, Christ is calling us upward this year, and he hasn't said, "Start the climb and stop when it gets rough." Like the song says, nobody told us the road would be easy. We have to follow the advice that Jesus gives in this text if we want to make steady progress as we strive to move upward. Well, what advice does he give? I'm so glad you asked, Reverend Bethune. When the disciples cry out in fear, Jesus says, take courage. It's about 4 a.m. when they spot him walking on the lake. They've been battling this storm for hours. The last thing they expect to see is anybody walking on water that they can hardly sail on. The wind and the waves are limiting their visibility, and all they can distinguish is a figure that looks like it resembles a man. So assuming he's a ghost, they panic and they cry out in fear. Mark's account says that Jesus actually planned to just walk on by. He was just going to walk to the other side. I imagine he stopped out of compassion because they were afraid. He speaks to them to encourage them, to put courage in their hearts in place of fear. Christ gives them a command to counter their cowardice. Right there in the midst of the storm, Jesus commands them to stop being afraid and start being courageous. Can you picture this? He doesn't calm the storm. He doesn't speak to it. He does nothing about the situation around them. Instead, he addresses their internal state, the condition of their hearts and their minds. He instructs them to summon up courage from within. Courage is the thing that enables us to face difficulty without fear. Jesus instructs them to control the one thing that they can, and that's themselves. He says, take courage. He commands them to make an exchange. He wants them to give up fear and cowardice and take on boldness and bravery. It's as if he's saying, God has not given you a spirit of fear. The next thing Jesus says after take courage is, it is I. In my sanctified imagination, I can hear him saying, I'm the one who told you to go to the other side. Can't you see that I'm walking on my way there? I'm walking on the stuff that you're struggling against. Don't you know who I am by now? Haven't I been with you for a while? Haven't you seen me perform miracles? I just finished feeding 5,000 people with some fish and loaves. Don't you know who I am? It's me. Now, in case you're wondering, how can I hear all of that in three words? Let me share that in my study, the Amplified Bible has him saying, I am. And Bible readers know that I am means he's whatever we need him to be. So I hear him saying, have faith in my ability to get you through whatever tries to prevent you from accomplishing what I have called you to. The seed of courage that Jesus stopped to plant begins to sprout in Peter's heart. He becomes bold enough to get out of the boat. Christ's command conquered Peter's cowardice. We often talk about how impulsive and impetuous Peter was, how he frequently spoke and acted before thinking, but he does something very smart in this story. Before getting out of the boat, Peter asked Jesus to invite him to meet him out on the water. He hasn't become so courageous that he's acting completely crazy. Peter has summoned up enough courage to exercise confidence in Christ. He doesn't take it upon himself to walk on the water. He confesses his desire to do so to Jesus. Peter commits his way to the Lord. And then Jesus says, come. As long as Peter is focused solely on Jesus' invitation or the call he's received, his own confidence in Christ and the courage that Jesus planted in his heart, he manages to master the elements. Peter is walking on violent waves being driven by gale force winds. Now, it would have been a miracle had he simply walked on water on a bright, clear, shiny day. But courage has him confidently climbing out of the boat while the waves are crashing and the wind is whipping. This is boldness at its best. It's a courageous response to a call from Christ. By watching Peter wobble on the waves, we discover that water walking requires wisdom. He asked the Lord to invite him out of the boat. He didn't jump ship on his own. It's only a leap of faith when you know God is in it. If you just get it in your mind and try it, that's something different. But can you imagine the conversation that might have taken place on the boat? Different disciples with different personalities shouting out different things. Somebody's asking, what are you doing, Peter? Where are you going? Somebody else is saying, come back here. You're going to drown. Then as he starts walking, somebody says, OMG, look at Peter. He's walking on water. Somebody else says to herself, I wish I would have had the courage to get out there. Somebody else says, I'm going out there too. But just as they're about to climb out, somebody says, stop, get back here. He's sinking. See, I told him to stay in here where it was safe. Somebody else says, he's fine, Jesus has him. But after all of the exhilaration in verse 29 comes the desolation of verse 30. It starts with but, an adverb of contrast. You know how the story goes. Peter becomes afraid when he focuses on the storm around him. As soon as fear and doubt start creeping into his heart, Peter's body starts sinking down into the water. But Jesus grabs hold of Peter and pulls him to safety. And that's the kind of God we serve. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. We can go ahead and climb to the places where Christ is calling us because he's close enough to grab us if we begin to fall. The storm actually dies down after Jesus and Peter join the others in the boat. After witnessing Jesus' power to walk on water, the disciples, all of them who are there, have a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. Before this encounter, they thought he needed a boat to cross the lake. They are now certain he's the Son of God. Their relationship grew deeper when Jesus' compassion moved him to encourage them. He reveals himself to them when he speaks. Prior to hearing his voice, they couldn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. Peter, one among them, gained enough confidence to ask for an invitation to climb out of the boat. His God-inspired adventure caused his companions to have church. And so it should be in our lives, Calvary. Our moving upward ought to cause others to glorify God. When God shows himself to be strong on our behalf, we have to give him the credit when we tell the story to other people so that they can see a glimpse of his glory in our lives. Everybody on the boat worshiped Jesus because they saw him walking on water. They watched him empower and rescue Peter, and he calmed the storm they were once struggling in. Today, Jesus is still looking for people who are courageous enough to trust him, confident enough to continue on the journey he's calling them to begin. Take courage as you climb, Calvary, and your courageous response to Christ can cause others to worship him.